Been there, done that? It's time for a change.
Hi, I'm Rob Spear.
And I'm Brenda Michaels, and we're the hosts of Conscious Talk, radio that makes a difference.
If you're ready to engage life, expand consciousness, and ride the wave rather than be bowled over by the incredible changes that are upon us, then join us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. on KKNW 1150 a.m. or 98.9 HD3 or ConsciousTalk.net, where together we'll forge the new human being.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes. Join me on Wednesday afternoons from 2 to 3 p.m. for the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. Listen to discussions on dog-related topics and call in to voice your opinion or ask my opinion about your dog. We will talk about everything from dog behavior to pet food to dog training programs in prisons. The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. Tune in Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
Call karma specialist and metaphysical mother Robin Alexis for your free on-air readings Wednesdays at 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Psychic medium Robin Alexis helps countless people to live fuller and more conscious lives on Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis. Call Wednesdays for your free on-air readings and hear rebroadcasts of Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis Thursdays at 8 p.m. And check out Robin's Soul Spa at robinalexis.com.
When the red, red robin comes bop, bop, bopping along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get out of bed, cheer up. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the third hour of our full moon edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, you can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the Internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got Internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the home page. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. And let me tell you that it is a Robin and Martha Sunday, gifted Mount Shasta mystic Robin Alexis, host of Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis, is here, and we are tuning in to various animal situations around the planet to find out what the animals have to say and what we need to learn and how we can help and all that good stuff. Before we get back to that, I just want to let you know that you have a question or a comment, we're not taking phone calls, but you could tell Mike what's on your mind if there's something you want us to tune into. I don't know if we'll have time to add anything to the list, because we just got a good horse connection in an email that I want to get in if we have time. But our phone number's here in the studio. Remember, Mike is only one of him, and he can't speak to you in this studio, so he just put you on hold. You'll know the phone's been answered because you'll hear the radio show playing in your ear until he can get to the phone and answer it. But local number, 425-373-5527, and toll-free is 888-298-5569, and as long as we're on the air, we can get your emails, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. Now, you can be in touch with me through the Animal World website, marthanorwalk.com, has all my contact information there. You can send me an email by hitting the Contact Martha link. That will go to my home office computer, I won't get it here in the studio. Or you can address your own email program to Martha Light, L-I-G-H-T, at AOL.com. If you're needing my help as an animal behavior therapist and trainer, you know I do work with people privately in their homes or over the phone to help them understand their animal friends and solve problems. The best way to get a hold of me is to bug my voicemail. Now, you can send me an email with history and all that kind of stuff, but bug my voicemail because that's the best way to get a hold of me. And I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so if you or anyone you know has problems with their animals, it's always worth giving me a call. If I'm not the best one to help you, chances are I know who is. And you can reach me at Martha's Canine Feline at All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. If you're submitting a current events listing for nonprofits, it's free, and it's best to do that via email because it's easier for me to get to my web mistress that way. And if you need to mail something to Animal World, the Animal World mailing address is 19916 Old Owen Road. That's 19916 Old Owen Road, number 251, and that's Monroe, Washington, 98272. Now, if you want to get a hold of Robin Alexis, the best way to do that is to tune in her radio show and listen to her and Bob live Wednesdays at noon right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150, and that's Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis. And then, Robin, you also have your website, robinalexis.com, and the Soul Spa.
Yes, the website's very interesting. If people want to stop by robinalexis.com, you'll learn all about the amazing Golden Healer Lemurian crystals that we do share with people. We have found a place to get these crystals, and we bring them to all the sacred sites here, and we do blessings with them. They're very, very powerful crystals. We've gotten great reports from how they are serving people who do purchase them, and that is a very heartwarming confirmation because they really help have helped us.
Well, I'll give you a testimonial right now. Mike, see, look. So he can affirm.
Yes, I'm looking.
This is a golden
Lemurian, am I looking at?
A golden Lemurian healing crystal that I have taped to a knuckle on my left hand.
Gotcha.
Okay. And that is because a while ago when I was chopping frozen raw food, my butcher knife went all the way through the bag of raw food and stabbed my knuckle. The bone stopped it, and I decided to experiment with one of my golden Lemurian healing crystals, and I, you know, after I bled my hand and all of that, and cleaned it up, I taped one on my finger, and sure enough, the skin and all of that healed up miraculously quickly, and then I took the crystal off, and a few days later it started to get a little red and hot, and I knew that meant infection, and ordinarily I would start hot packing. But I decided, well, let's see what happens. I just taped the crystal back on there. All went away. And I took it off again. Now then, because I did stab the bone, what happened is I started to get some scar tissue forming in there. It was hurting. So before I did anything else, I've taped the crystal back on. And look, I have total movement now. And the pain that I was feeling in that scar tissue is greatly reduced. So now I'm still in the middle of my experiment. But I have my golden Lemurian healing crystal taped to my knuckle, and it's working.
It certainly is.
And you can say it's there, and I've just used scotch tape.
I can attest to that.
Yeah.
I'd like to experiment with something, Martha, if you don't mind for a minute here.
Oh, do we need to hit the woo-woo button?
Yeah, hit the woo-woo button.
Okay, we're ready.
Okay, so sense what that Lemurian healer crystal feels like taped next to your finger right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to ask for the Big Daddy Golden Healer Lemurian crystal that Bob is now holding in his hand, and he's holding it up towards Mount Shasta, and he's asking for all of the healing properties of Mount Shasta, all of the sacred site energy, this powerful Big Daddy Golden Healer here. Let's see if we can direct it towards your Golden Healer and see if you feel any kind of different. Yeah, wow, I'm getting a buzz here. See if you can feel any more energy coming in through that crystal.
I feel a tingling in that joint of my finger.
Yeah, I'm getting that this is really, really working. So
now it's interesting because it's a little point. This crystal is a point. And as you were saying that, I was told Mike might have seen me. I was told to turn my hand so the bottom of the point, not the point, so the point was pointing away from Mount Shasta because the energy comes in through the back of the point.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
See, and I was told to turn my hand around, which I did. But see, I can still feel it. And I can feel a vibration and a tingling in that joint.
Well, Bob is back with his headset on, and he's holding this crystal. And maybe he'll tell us the story how he acquired this Big Daddy crystal that we now know from testimonials like yours that it is.
Uh-oh.
I do believe we lost him.
Well, see, Bob was just going to get ready. Bob hit a button or something.
Yeah. Well, they be gone, but let me check over my shoulder here and see if we can't reconnect with him.
Mike is getting Bob and Robin back because obviously Bob getting ready to open his mic and speak. Something happened and they disconnected, but they'll be right back. If you want to see the golden Lemurian healing crystals that they're talking about, they're fairly small. Like mine is less than an inch long, about a half an inch wide, the one I have taped to my hand. But yet they're very powerful. The big one that Bob's got, they have photographs on the website. So go to www.robinalexis.com and then click on the flicker icon. If you do that and then scroll down to the pictures, you'll see a picture of Bob holding this big Jaimongo golden Lemurian healing crystal. And there's also a picture of the big Jaimongo crystal in the snow. So you can see what we're talking about. Did you get him back? Oh, not yet. So we're still working. So I think there's at least one picture of the crystal in the snow. There's another picture of Bob holding the crystal. And now, did I see a hand of yours go up in the air? Does that mean that we have them? Maybe.
We should have them back.
Do we have you?
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
We're back. Boy, we just...
We're back.
That's a powerful example of how we need to learn about energies. If you blast something through, it can change outcomes.
So I don't know how far along we got, but that just blasted us right off the air. It's sitting here right near the microphone. And
I was blaming you, Bob. I said you must have hit a wrong button or something.
No.
You didn't do anything except
bring the crystal in here.
Not only that, I was nowhere near the control board.
Oh, so we can't blame Bob. Okay,
no,
it must be Gary's fault again.
Martha, it's the energy.
It's the crystal did it, huh?
Well, it's the energy from Mount Shasta, and sometimes these phone lines can't handle this powerful energy because we get knocked off our show sometimes, depending on what's coming through.
Well, we probably need to hit the woo-woo button again because I know...
Yeah, hit the woo-woo,
woo-woo
button. This is woo-woo stuff coming up.
Wow. That sounds like little green men landing.
Yeah. Now, so we know that Robin's woo-woo, but Bob, you're usually the grounded guy.
Did you not
have a dream or something about this crystal?
I had him in a meditation, and I was invited to an ascension ceremony here in Mount Shasta.
Yeah.
And on a Saturday afternoon, and through the meditation, I saw this about 6-inch crystal that I needed to go get. Now, we were making available smaller ones for our listeners and anybody who wants them. But this, I was told to go get this Big Daddy crystal.
So this is in a meditation. You just see this crystal and
saw it.
Something tells you to go find it?
And we went to the store, and I handled about 100 of them, and this one spoke to me, and I saw the one that I had seen in my meditation.
It actually looked the same as what you saw in your meditation?
Absolutely.
Oh.
And now it's here, and it's generating energy from the mountain through actually the microphone, and through everybody who has these crystals is actually getting the Mount Shasta energy through this, what we call Big Daddy.
Woohoo!
Yeah, so what are you feeling in it? Is it still pulsing there, Martha, or did it slow down?
I'm not feeling the same vibration there anymore, but now, actually it's starting to itch.
Oh,
that makes sense. Itching is healing.
Yeah.
Things itch when they're healing.
We didn't know that. We've been itching like crazy here for the last couple weeks.
Maybe you're healing.
Yeah.
Or you have a rash or something.
Or we're itching to get out of here. Well, anyway, we really are having an incredible, wonderful experience sharing these Golden Healer Lemurian crystals. And I do want to say that, you know, we are living in Mount Shasta because Bob, a couple of years ago, woke up in the morning and saw a being standing at the foot of the bed that told him he needed to come to Mount Shasta. So you guys may think I'm woo-woo, but I'm living with a real woo-woo guy.
You actually saw someone at the foot of your bed?
Well, I saw in a dream I was guided to, and there was colors, and I was guided to get to Mount Shasta, and we woke up, and it was a radio day, too. We canceled our radio show. I got in the car by myself and drove 600 miles down here.
So you just dropped everything you were doing and drove to Mount Shasta?
Yeah, that's not usually like me, but my wife supported the visions that I had, and that was the beginning of us really coming down here permanently.
Wow.
When the Holy Spirit speaks, Bob moves. And let me tell you, he is not a shopper. He doesn't like to go into stores, and quite honestly, he's not really into spending money on anything unless it's really important. So for him to have a vision of a crystal and spend hours handling them until he gets the one he knows he saw in a meditation and then use it to help people's crystals that they presently have empower themselves to be of service more to people's healing, this is a pretty cool guy. I mean, he not
That's
only
really
can,
woo-woo.
Yeah, I mean, he, you know, does the dishes and he is woo-woo.
Yes. And I cook too.
You know, I think if you get tired of him, he could just come have a little vacation at my house for a while.
Yeah, I've heard more women say that than you can imagine.
There's a list. You're about 20th on the list.
Well, I'll get tired of you after a while, remember. So.
Yeah, we'll rotate Bob.
Yeah. You only get to come for a little while.
Okay.
Just to clean up the house and cook for a while.
And empower your crystal.
Yeah, then I'll send you back.
And you can send him home with a kitten.
Well, no, he'll just get to soak up that Abyssinian energy.
Oh, no, when he comes up to your house, maybe you guys can help pick out Omen coming back in Abby body, and then he can bring the kitten back down to me.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Maybe we're setting a plan.
Oh, that sounds great.
Chico, where are you?
Yeah. Well, I think there might be babies in the oven right now, and I think that Andrea was hoping that she had a pregnant kitty. but I haven't heard. But anyway, we better get
yes.
busy here.
Or, okay.
We are.
I'll say goodbye for now.
goodbye, Bob. Goodbye, Crystal. Thanks for the healing. I'll keep you guys posted on whether it gets rid of all my scar tissue.
I anticipate it will because mine went away.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that's right. From that cat scratch mm-hmm. fever you had.
Yes.
Oh, and I also want to remind everybody, I do write a regular column for the New Spirit Journal, and the January issue is out, and wouldn't you know, on the front page is all about the cycle of the yugas. Woohoo! So if you want to know more about that, go to www.newspiritjournal.com, and you can see about the yugas and read about the column and about the book. So there you go. All right. Let's see. We are going to do, I decided, Robin, since we've got some kind of heavy-duty stuff to get into here in the news, that how about we start off this hour with the best good news about animals. A little boost to bringing that sunshine back out here, Mike. We got a little bit of blue sky.
I think it looks just absolutely gorgeous out there. The mountains, the Olympics are just stunning this morning.
You guys are making me miss home.
Well, I'm sure your mountain looks pretty stunning too, Robin.
Well, actually, I don't care if you cook and clean, Robin, but I'd rather you come visit.
Oh, as soon as I can, I will.
But you might not leave once you meet all my Abby friends.
Yes.
And you get Abyssinian love, you won't be able to go home.
I'll become part of the pride. I'll turn into a little lioness.
Yeah. Oh, they're so cute. And that little Buzzy, I mean, he's taken over the place. It's so funny to see an adult in a kitten body. It's just amazing. All right, the first good news is, I haven't heard if it's hatched or not, but a beautiful picture on the Wednesday cover of Northwest Wednesday, Seattle Times, waiting for her baby puffball. And this would be the northern sea otter, Aniak, at the Seattle Aquarium. And it's a very cute picture of her, and she's pregnant and expecting a pup. They're born underwater, but they're air breathers, so that's a little dicey. But they're watching her real close, and they're not going to close the exhibit, so everybody will be able to see the pup once it comes. Robin, are you getting anything from Aniak and the sea otter, and whether or not the baby's going to make it okay and all of that?
I'm actually feeling that there's some sort of energy that's very, very fragile. Let's see if there's wow, this is interesting. I'm getting soul retrievals necessary. So I ask for, and I'm not getting it. So, again, I'm not hearing that I can start doing energy work with something right at the moment. But there is some energy that actually, Martha, I think we need to get on the phone and talk about this one and see if we can do a little bit of protection for this particular sea otter.
Okay, sounds good. This is weird. I'm getting all kinds of emails all of a sudden. Oh, can't do too many things at once. Let's see. This is an interesting article. It was covered on some of the network newses as well as I pulled it out of the Seattle Times. Dogs and infants receptive to similar human cues. They did some experimentation. It sounds a little weird to me. About sitting dogs in front of a television screen and then having a person on that screen look at the dog and make eye contact and talk to the dog and say hello. And then they had the person look at something and then they see what the dog's reaction is and if he'll look at the same thing or and all of that. Well, they film what the dog does. Well, apparently they do this with infants too, and apparently chimps don't seem to have any response to it, and that's probably because they know it's just a television screen, there's anything there. But the dogs have the same reaction an infant human has. So, I mean, I could have told them that before they did the experiment. Oh, well.
Will people catch up?
Yeah. All right, and then the winner of the best good news about animals is this is a Christmas miracle for a lonely, endangered rhinoceros. And this is kind of cool. On Christmas morning, conservationists in Malaysia airlifted a young Sumatran rhinoceros, one of the world's most endangered animals, from an area where she had no hope of ever seeing another rhinoceros. And I don't have the whole story, but I'm wondering how did she get there in the first place. But anyway, after monitoring her isolation for years, the Sabah Wildlife Department and Borneo Rhino Alliance flew the female rhino named Pun Tung to a forested reserve where she would encounter a potential partner.
That woohoo! I got some vibes on that one.
Quote, this is a fantastic gift for our uphill battle in ensuring the survival of this truly unique species and wonderful timing with Christmas, a time to give thanks for our blessings. That's from the director of the SWD. There was no sign that any other rhino had entered her range in years. So how cool is that?
That's really sweet.
That's really
cool.
That one
makes my heart open. Oh, gosh, I just Googled it. It's so cute.
Yeah, isn't it? Isn't it?
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, all right, so get your fill. Suck in the good news, folks. Because here we go to the... And if you're eating something, you might want to take a break.
Why are you looking at me?
Oh, I didn't mean to. I just looked at you because you're in front of me.
Because I was eating something?
Well, now that, yeah, I can see that you are.
But I've stopped, per your instructions.
Well, because this, I saw this story, I said, no, I am not doing this. And then I thought, no, we better do this, just to tune in. The headline of the article, Chinese tycoon who ate poisoned cat stew dies.
I think that's fair. Anybody would make
say
a
that
cat?
Again. Yeah.
Chinese tycoon who ate poisoned cat stew dies. Now, apparently this Chinese tycoon did something unscrupulous to a colleague, and so the colleague took him out to dinner, and apparently cat stew is a delicacy in China.
Should not have been eating the cat stew.
Well, that's what I figured. See, that's what you have. See, that's, you know, my lower self said, see, that's what you get for eating cat stew.
That's your karma.
But anyway, so the other guy who was ticked off at this guy put a poison herb in the cat stew and then ate a little bit so he'd get sick too, but it killed the guy he was ticked off at. But the reason I thought we should do it is that, I mean, this is kind of, I mean, it makes me sick just to even think about it, but it's kind of the difference in cultures. They apparently eat cats in China, and it's like a delicacy.
Yep.
So I just thought, Robin, I think we should find out what the cats think.
Well, the cats who are there, I'm actually feeling like they feel that they're being of service. So evidently,
I was wondering, because what I was getting was that the souls that would come into the cats in China would come in to actually serve humans.
Yeah, God. That's what I got.
Still makes me sick, but
oh,
you know, I
mean, wow, you're whoa, the guy that died eating the stew, he's here.
Uh-oh.
Whoa. Yeah. Whoa, that's a big energy. Can you feel that, Martha?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was just looking to,
He's saying the moral of the story is, you know.
Is he speaking Chinese or he speaks English?
No, well, he's actually speaking in English to me. He is asking for assistance to go to the light. And for some reason, I don't know if this is my mind, but he's bringing up John Huntsman, which makes no sense. I mean, I know he's
John Huntsman, isn't he running a Republican running for president?
Yes, and he speaks some form of Chinese, so I don't know if my mind's free associating.
Okay, his name is Long Liuan. Long Liuan. He was 49. He ran a forestry company.
Well, he's got a lot to say. Again, he's feeling very long-winded coming through me,
yeah.
And I appreciate that he has a lot to say, but we are live on the air. So he is talking about that we as Americans have no comprehension of their culture. And
well, that's what I was saying, yeah.
Yeah. And he's saying that, but one thing that is coming through loud and clear is that we no longer live in a time where you can get away with things. Things are becoming more and more open, and there are instant repercussions, whereas before you might have waited lifetimes for something to show up.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's happening more instantaneously, and that's because of the purification process for the souls as we're moving towards this whole yuga cycle.
Right, as I was saying, it's because we're in the Dwapara Yuga, and with the energy.
Yeah.
The energy cycle, and yeah. Well, and that's why I guess that's why I decided to do it, because it as much as I don't like the idea, and I couldn't do it myself, I understand that it is part of the culture, and I understand, and that's, and the point I wanted to make is that as yucky as that seems to me, and you know, as the profound love that I have for cats, I can go to another place with this, and I can understand. It's like Granny, our orca whale, that says sometimes they choose to give their life of service to humans. And the cats that come up in that environment, everyone is where they've chosen to be, whether you're dog, cat, mosquito, or slug. And you have a sole purpose, and they do come to serve humans. So take that for what it's worth. Can we move
That's
on?
That's a story that will definitely stick with all of us.
Yeah.
You know how Mike,
well,
at the beginning of the show.
Not once this next one gets in here. You'll
okay.
be done with the cats in China real fast. Because next up. Oh, and we might as well tell that guy we can help him cross or whatever he needs to after the show or whatever. We won't leave you hanging long. Okay. Here's another one of these stories. This is out of Seattle. Serving up squirrel. Eating gets very local. A Green Lake woman traps wild squirrels for food. It's a practice that shocks and worries some, but fits with her philosophy to eat as much as possible from her yard.
There's a lot of squirrels in the Green Lake area. At least there were.
Her name, I'm not going to say it, called to say dinner was trapped in her front yard. A few hours later, we were eating risotto de rodentia, eastern gray squirrel braised in Lopez Island white wine with mushrooms and Italian-style rice. It did not taste like chicken. As you might guess, this woman is serious about eating locally. She teaches urban foraging. She raises goats, chickens, bees, and worms at her Green Lake house, and she believes that she's the only person in Seattle harvesting squirrels for protein. Quote, I know how out there it sounds, a former state environmental analyst, she is, says, but the alternative is to close your eyes and eat what comes on a styrofoam tray. You know, she's really right.
She's making some sense.
And isn't the animals been telling us, Robin, that we need to eat local? Well.
Well, and as I said earlier, I live in the Green Lake area. There are a ton of squirrels.
Uh-huh, and they're an invasive species, and there's talk of getting rid of them.
Sure, yep.
Well, hello, how about serving them up for dinner? In a city that savors local food initiatives, allowing up to 8 chickens, 3 goats in every backyard, this woman is exploring new frontiers. Quote, I don't see any reason why we would object, says the city council president Richard Conlon, prime mover of Seattle's locavore agenda. From a public policy standpoint, it's an individual making a choice, and that's fine. So
you just wonder if they carry any disease, do they?
Well, see, now that, yeah, when they got into talking to officials, that was the thing as well. They might have disease or bacteria. Well, crime, and you can run into that kind of stuff anywhere. But no, there's apparently no disease that they carry that we'd get from eating. And pretty much cooking stuff eliminates.
That's true.
It anyway. And you would treat the meat. I mean, it's just if you hunted for deer or rabbit or whatever.
You got to cook it.
Yeah, I mean, you
got to
skin the squirrel. Now, and what she does, she catches them, she traps them humanely, you know, for food in a trap, and then she drowns them, which takes about 4 seconds. She said she considered all the different, and that seems to be the most humane.
Yeah.
So, why don't we, Robin, tune into the squirrels and see what they have to say?
Well, the particular one that they ate, that's in the article, says that it was happy to be of service. However, there were other family members to that squirrel.
Oh, that weren't so happy.
Who weren't so happy. And it seems to be that this one, that is the survivor, is saying it's kind of like when the soldier goes off to war to be of service, and then, you know, the parent, whether it's the male or female parent, is home raising the kids by themselves. And so there's all kinds of repercussions. So I really respect both positions of these higher selves of these squirrels. But then I'm also seeing a Native American who's stepping forward and with a bow and arrow, and is saying it's really not bad to be eating squirrel. It's or anything. It's about respect, and the Native Americans generally had a very respectful way of honoring the life and soul of something that allowed itself to give up its life to feed us. And so, if we're going to move forward, eating locally or whatever it is we're doing in our decision making, this Native American is bringing up respect.
Right, and actually what the Native Americans would do, they just didn't go out and hunt and kill stuff. They would do a ritual and ceremony prior to going on that hunt. They would pray and do their ritual, but they would also ask for what they wanted, and they would ask for volunteers.
Oh.
Okay, see? And remember what I told you when I watched the macaw whale hunt, and I was so ready to go off on it on the air, and then I watched the film of them harpooning that whale, and I was totally shocked when I watched the film of the hunt, because the whale was telling me they had done their ritual. It was a volunteer. It was giving its life of service to the Indian, and it was okay. And I had to come on the air and say, oh, crap.
Yeah, I've also seen that in my travels in Alaska, the Native Americans, particularly north of the Arctic Circle, it's a big ceremony pre and post to where they thank the animal and not only just for the food, but also for everything that the animal gives, which is a lot.
Right. So that's that's what we have to incorporate is how to do this. And so even in Green Lake, this gal, she could do a ritual and ask for squirrel volunteers. And then she could even ask, hey, talk to your family, too, will you? You know, and maybe bachelor squirrels would show up or something or, you know, whatever. But if you ask for volunteers and then take only what you need. It's very important. And then say thank you for what you get. That there is a lot from Native American understanding. And that's one of the things when I moved to my farm in Monroe in 1990, I mean, the masters told me then one of the things I could do at that point was I could start growing and raising animals for food and learn how to do it from spirit and then teach others how to do it. And I said, you know, not in this lifetime. I'm sorry. I'm it's not happening. I'll do other things, but somebody's got to do it. It's just not going to be me, but somebody needs to, at least not now. No, anyway, somebody needs to do it. And we need to learn how to go back to those native ways and asking and being grateful and then listening. And so forth. But we also have to get out of the judgment of there being a right or a wrong.
I agree.
Yeah. Okay.
One of my hairstylists in Port Angeles, she would take her gun out and shoot the squirrel and eat it. She said that's how she grew up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Sandy, you know, Sandy, our call screener, Sandy, grew up, you know, with her grandmother, you know, eating chickens and stuff. Sandy was very comfortable with the process of selecting chickens and killing them and all of that. It was like, oh, not me. All right, we need to take care of our advertisers and sponsors, though, before we run out of time, so we can get at least at least a couple other things. I want to get to the whale skeletons because I keep promising that we don't get there. And I'd also like to get to this, well, some horse stuff I want to talk about. So at any rate, stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend. And Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. Visit Jones & Company. You'll find them on State Avenue in Marysville. Give them a call at 360-658-7817. At Jones & Company Pets, their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
Shift your morning into overdrive with Gary Mance and Suzanne Mitchell on Alternative Talk 1150.
Caffeinate your consciousness 6 a.m. weekdays with hot talk and great guests as you get your day underway with Mance and Mitchell, the most unusual radio show in Western Washington.
Presets adore us, snooze buttons fear us.
Elvis's birthday is this weekend, and on Monday, Elvis expert Corey Cooper talks about the king of rock and roll.
This new year, give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, a strong immune system, and a healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Go to NuProSupplements.com for more information. That's NuProSupplements.com. Massage is good for everyone, including your pets. Learn animal massage and check out the Northwest School of Animal Massage's exciting new Vashon Island location. The Northwest School of Animal Massage offers a full schedule of classes, including massage for canines, small and large animal certification, and the exciting new manual ligament therapy series. Go to NWSAM.com for registration details and to enroll online. For more information, call 877-836-3703. Locally, call 206-463-1425. That's 206-463-1425. Or check them out on Facebook.
Robin Alexis is offering a limited number of beautiful Golden Healer Lemurian crystals. These crystals are used by healers for their ability to magnify the flow of vital life force throughout the body, to promote healing, to reduce fear and anxiety, to induce a state of deep relaxation, and accelerate tissue healing. These crystals are also powerfully energized to activate the crown and solar plexus chakras, which assist you to obtain a more conscious connection to spirit. Golden Healer Lemurian crystals are a marvelous tool for doing any kind of energy work, meditation, or healing. In addition, these special crystals have been blessed by Robin Alexis at sacred sites at Mount Shasta. You can purchase these crystals for $22.95 from Mystic Store at robinalexis.com. Or email Bob at robinalexis.com for details. There is only a limited supply of these Lemurian crystals, so they're offered at a first-come, first-served basis.
Open your ears, open your heart, open your mind. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey, y'all, Martha Norwalk. I want to say thank you for spending your full moon Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. Hope you do it every Sunday morning. We're here 9 a.m. to noon right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Next week is a Kevin and Kim Sunday. And the following week, Helen and Bill Thayer are back in the studio. Right now, it's Robin and Martha Sunday, and Robin Alexis is here. And, gosh, here's a little technical. I've just got a ton of emails here. But, Robin, you remember, now this is from Jay. And I just, this is a little housekeeping. Remember we did all the fundraising for Willa and Dee down in the high desert?
Yes.
Of Arizona. And this is kind of, anyway, Jay is Dee's sister and was writing to say that there had been so much going on down there that they still haven't sent out proper thank you notes to all of those listeners who generously donated. And she wanted to know if I could send her a list. But, Jay, I have to tell you, I diligently typed out all of the people and their contact information, phone numbers and addresses, and I sent all of that to Dee months ago, but I didn't keep it, so I can't send it to you, but I did send it to Dee, so there you go. All right.
Yes.
But thank you, everybody, for contributing. And let's... one of your Soul Spa members, Robin, Martha C., has been emailing a lot about horse stuff. But the one thing I want to mention here, I don't know that we'll have time to tune into her. We can't really tune into her individual horse stuff, but she mentioned two things. One is the movie War Horse, you know, that just came out at mm-hmm. Christmas time. And it's supposed to, what, isn't that a Spielberg movie? And it's supposed to be really great. I don't know, at least I've seen the promos. It's a show I would like to see. I've seen some of the behind-the-scenes things with the horse. Do you have any general feeling about the movie, Robin?
Well, my sense is that it will be a profound film, and I am not ready to go see it because I know it'll move my spirit deeply. And I'm being so moved by things that are happening in my personal life that I'm having to retreat to stay more balanced because of, you know, just everything that's going on. There's just a huge shift in energy since we've moved into 2012, and it's requiring a different stance of balance and finding that rhythm. I can't go to a movie that's going to overstimulate me. So that's a very personal experience with the idea of that movie, but I'm sure it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, now the other thing that Martha mentioned is the show Cavalia. Excuse me. And I thank you for emailing about that, Martha, because I wanted to talk about it, and I totally forgot. Cavalia is a live horse show. It's like a theater presentation. And it came through the Seattle area a number of years ago. I was still on another radio station, and they had their tents were all set up down in the Kent area, and I went to review the show for radio. And I'll tell you what, it remains the best live show of any kind I have ever seen in my whole entire life. It is phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. I don't buy stuff. I bought the coffee table book, Kavalia. I bought the CD of the music. It is still one of my favorite CDs of the music. It is the most spectacular show, and it's so different than any other show involving horses. And I understand, I think it's coming back to the state again, and my understanding, and I totally forgot about it, so I didn't Google it, but I think it is coming to Marymore Park, I think, this month. And so maybe, Mike, C-A-V-A-L-I-A.
Martha, this is amazing. I actually went to that show, and I was asked to work with the horse chiropractor.
Really?
To work with one of the horses that they just could not figure out how to heal, so they actually consulted with me.
Really?
I worked with the chiropractor, and we did have good results with that particular
horse. So you've seen the show?
Yes.
Isn't it phenomenal?
It is. Everybody who is in a position to really ought to go see it. It's amazing.
I just don't have the words to even describe it. I can just tell you it's spectacularly beautiful. And what they do with the horses, without reins, without bits, without spurs, without saddles, it's like unbelievable.
And I'm not a purchaser of sponsored things either, but I actually left that show and bought a T-shirt. That said Cavalli on
it. I mean, I still
love
to look at the book. I have the coffee table book. I have the CD of the music.
And I should also say that it's coming up real soon, January 21st through the 29th. And it doesn't say, it's in Seattle, but it doesn't say Marymore. It says it's going to be under a big tent.
Yeah.
Let me keep checking.
Yeah, I thought I heard that it was going to be at Marymore Park, which would make sense if that'd be a place where they could set up. I mean, because they come, it's like, you know, a show that comes to town, and they have their self-encompassing. You know, they set up their tents and do their thing. They just need room to set it up. It was in Kent when I saw it.
And it's just been confirmed that it is at Marymore
Park. It is at Marymore.
Yes.
All right, and what were the dates again?
January 18th, it looks like, through the 29th.
18th through the 29th of this month.
Correct.
I'd love to see it again.
Knowing on the back end that they literally will do anything to keep those horses healthy, even be open-minded enough to consult someone like myself to work as a chiropractor.
Ooh.
I mean, that's impressive to know that they know the kind of work that we do, and they embrace it if it serves the bigger picture, keeping those horses healthy.
Yeah.
And I should add that as I look at the schedule, and I'll have a little bit more information, that it's scheduled for Saturday the 21st, two shows, and then the following weekend, the 28th and the 29th, single show each day.
So just two shows on the first weekend on Saturday only.
Correct.
And then a show each Saturday and Sunday the next week.
That's what it's showing here.
And
tickets are available.
I would imagine that tickets are still available. Boy.
Highly recommend it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Highly, highly recommend it. Outstanding. All right. Well, if we don't tune into this now, I don't know when we're ever going to do this again. Lolita's not going anywhere. We can talk to her. But we've been talking about this for a couple of months now. And this is actually an article that I pulled out of the Seattle Times, Chasing the Tail of Whale's Demise. And it's about these whale skeletons in Santiago, Chile. And what I thought I'd do, Robin, is I'm just going to start reading this article so that you can tune into the energy, because we're kind of what works for us here. I have to stay so grounded to pay attention to radio that once Robin gets into the energy, I can usually follow her into it. And so I would just start reading until we have a good enough idea of what this is all about, and then you let me know when you're into it, and then we can go and see what we can find out.
Okay, and even when you mentioned it earlier in the show, I did get one flash of something, and I have no idea if it's going to make any sense or not. So I don't know if you want me to speak what I have received thus far or just wait.
Well, sure. Tell me, what did you get so far?
I got that it has something to do with the Yuga cycle and how the Yuga cycle affects planetary shifts.
Huh. Yeah, I wondered. I was getting some kind of connection between this and the Yugas.
Okay,
but
good.
I didn't know what it was. Okay.
Well, maybe I actually got that from you then, just because we're close. So let's see this article says. Okay.
More than 2 million years ago, scores of whales congregating off the Pacific coast of South America mysteriously met their end. Maybe they became disoriented and beached themselves. Maybe they were trapped in a lagoon by a landslide or a storm. Maybe they died there over a period of a few millennia. But somehow they ended up right next to one another, many just yards apart, entombed as a shallow seafloor was driven upward by geological forces and transformed into the driest place on the planet. Today they have emerged again atop a desert hill more than a half a mile from the surf, where researchers have begun to unearth one of the world's best preserved graveyards of prehistoric whales. Chilean scientists, together with researchers from the Smithsonian Institute, are studying how these whales, many of them the size of buses, wound up in the same corner of the Atacama Desert near Copiapo. That's the top question, said the director of the museum in experts say other groups of prehistoric whales have been found together in Peru and Egypt, but the Chilean fossils stand out for their staggering number and beautifully preserved bones. More than 75 whales have been discovered so far, including more than 20 perfectly intact skeletons. And there's some photographs here of the skeletons in the ground, but I guess... So the question would be if we can tune in to find out, you know, did these whales, what were those questions? Did they all beach at one time? Did this happen over a long time? Obviously, this place used to be part of the ocean, but in time has been pushed up. Where are you?
Well, first of all, the whales are telling me that this was a soul group intention and that the prophecy is fulfilled. So they had a multi-lifetime soul's purpose, and they're telling me that they did pretty much beach at the same time, that it was something they did as a collective, and for some reason they're showing me the color cobalt blue.
That's interesting.
That's all I've gotten so far, yeah.
Well, cobalt blue, of course, is the color of the Nyaswami order of Ananda. You know, Yogananda and Shri.
I'm hearing to proceed there, and that you will find your answers woven into the fabric of that tale.
Isn't that interesting? Of course, that would be directly related to the Yugas, because it's Shri Yukstavar and Yogananda that have brought the Yugas information to light.
Well, it feels, too, like there may be a correlation between the souls and these different life forms. So perhaps some of these gurus were actually inhabiting some of those whales.
Wouldn't that be interesting? Because they have confirmed that a soul's progression on this planet, well, they're saying it takes a soul millions and millions of incarnations to get back to God. You know, that one, for anyone that doesn't understand the concept, that soul vibrations separate from God initially, and then you have to go through all this. I'm not quite sure why we did, you have to go through all this stuff to get back there. And saying millions of incarnations, and that on this earth plane we start in the mineral kingdom and then go through the plant kingdom, the animal kingdom, before we move into the human kingdom, and then many incarnations there. So certainly it's very possible that the gurus, the swamis and the gurus that we're dealing with, which would be Jesus Christ, Babaji Krishna, Lahiri Mahashai, Swamiji Shri Yukstavar, and of course Paramahansa Yoganandaji, that maybe they all were whales together. Wouldn't that be interesting?
Yeah, I'm feeling a vibration with that, and I'm also sensing or hearing that by studying the bones, they'll be able to figure out kind of more chronologically what has happened throughout time and space. And I don't know for a fact that science would be able to do that, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, very interesting. And I'm only 60 pages into the Yugas book anyway. I certainly read what Sri Yukteswar had to say to Yogananda about the different planes of existence after we leave our physical body and where we go in between lifetimes as we are progressing back towards God. But I still need more understanding of that before we can really talk about that and then start tuning into those levels. But I'm really understanding the yuga sequencing now, which is fascinating to me. And it absolutely, it has all the answers. It explains everything. Because when you think of our progression here on Earth as linear, then there's no explanation how the Egyptians knew how to build those pyramids. But if you understand the yuga cycling, that it isn't linear, it's cyclical, then it makes total sense. It also, Robin, I'm just going to put this out there, I think we really need to rethink just how important our woo-woo-woo-woo music. It sounds like ETs and extraterrestrials. We thought that, in like Peru and those formations on the ground, that you can only know what they are if you're up in the air. And we thought they had to be creating those for ETs and extraterrestrials. Well, now with this yuga understanding, that may not be the case, because the humans at that time might have been capable of flight and all of that. They could see them themselves. They were building them for themselves, maybe.
And I'm getting another orientation that, again, I don't know in a sophisticated linear concept, but what I'm hearing is this cyclical vibration. It's has a correlation between that and the mitochondrial DNA. And my understanding is that the mitochondrial DNA is circular, and it's the fuel source for human DNA, and I don't know if it's the fuel source for other forms of DNA, for life forms in the third dimension. But I'm hearing it's that overlap, that overlay. There's something in there where there's like pockets of information and energy that they look very cloaked right now. Maybe they're going to start opening up.
Yeah. Well, and we're totally out of time. So we're going to have to end what we're doing now, and I want to say thank you again for spending your Sunday morning with me, Robin, and we will pick up where we left off on the second Sunday of February. You can hear more of Robin, and if you want to call in for readings, you do that on Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis, and that's live at 12 noon this coming Wednesday. You are doing a live show?
Yes.
Okay. And robinalexis.com if you want to get involved with the Soul Spa and all of that. And then next week I'll be at Temple, but Kevin McDonald and Kim Miller Medium and Animal Intuitive will be here taking care of things. Mike will be here. Be sure and give him a call because they'll have open phone lines throughout the show. And other than that, I guess we're like finished. Mike, thank you so much. It's been swell. I'll see you in two. And Robin, I'll talk to you later. And as always, let me remind you, animals have feelings too. So treat your animal friends better than family. And please always be kind to open your heart. Share your love with all living things. Kim, Kevin, and Mike will talk to you next week. And I will talk to you again in 2 weeks.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.